I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to an August report card show that's not on Monday. Comes at a time that we're doing live days with the Sioux Empire Fair on Monday and Wednesday, and the report card show for August makes a Tuesday. Tomorrow in this hour at the Sioux Empire Fair, we gather the farm political leaders across the state. Ag Appreciation Day. Mayor Paul Tenhagen, the Ag Secretary, Hunter Roberts. I'm told Congressman Dusty Johnson is joining us. I even had John Thune's people try to crash the party. I'm not sure if I gave him a yes or a no, but you'll know tomorrow. And Ag PhD's nationally known Darren Hefty, Baltic-based, of course, and Mr. Agriculture himself, Jim Wooster, before he goes on stage and starts singing at 11:30. No guitar allowed on the program. But this is the report card show, and we've got the keynoter himself, Mr. Tony Bachman, Coldwell Banker. You've got everything set up this morning.
We're good to go.
Pictures.
Yeah. I got the cameras running, so
we get
your
wave?
Smiling face and your tie on, and I got my tie, so... We're right in our wheelhouse.
And who's this lady in green over here?
And Miss Ann Farrell is the president of the Realtors Association of the Sioux Empire. So
glad to be here.
She's been holding the helm since January. Maybe so soon, December.
December.
Yeah, December you took over helm. Yeah.
So are you counting the days till the year's over?
Maybe a little bit. Actually, it's been a ball. I have loved doing this. I think we've made some fantastic growth and improvements and changes in our association that benefits the members and the consumers, which is really critical. And by the time I'm done, it'll be time for Tara to come on board as our next president. So it'll all be good.
Yep. Tara Allen's scheduled to be the president here this next year. But yep. Ann has been a great asset to our organization. Facilitating a lot of conversation. I think any time that you have success in an organization because you're having conversations, you're going to meeting of the minds, and so there's a lot of people there. You know, they're all trying to do what they can that's best for the organization and for our clients, of course.
Yep.
You know, the good thing, and the reason I didn't mind moving this show to Tuesday was because of the fact that we deserve to be right beside the kingmakers with all the things that have happened with the building permits hitting $1 billion in just a little over 7 months. That's a big deal. All the numbers that we're seeing, people that are buying, South Dakota is getting all kinds of notoriety. And you've got enough notes this morning. I mean, I don't know how many emerald ash trees you had to kill, but my guess is you got a few that you have felled overnight.
Well, and the other thing is that just so you know, these notes actually carry me through the month because I actually, you know, go back to them as a resource throughout the month. So it's been yes, I have a lot of pieces of paper here, but the other thing too, just so you know, I do recycle. So it's all good. So
that is good. The other thing that surprised me, and I've got to tell you this morning too, that the fact that you were able to pull out and say, as of Sunday, these are the latest numbers, which means you went 8 days beyond what the normal raise report would have.
Right. Well, we're just trying to stay current, you know, with you know, what's happening. So when we're reporting, it makes it easy so people can relate to it. And, you know, I think with our July market indicators and housing supply overview, you know, August was, you know, we're in August. I mean, you know, the fair's on. Kids are getting ready to go back to school. So it's an exciting time of year. Also, traditionally in the real estate market, we see a lot of activity because people are looking at potentially new school districts or, you know, when they're going to, you know, maybe make that move to their new home. So, but, you know, right now we get a number of questions that are asked, and I kind of threw that out as our notes where I said, you know, the questions that we're typically getting asked is like, are home prices going to fall? Is the housing market in a correction? Is the housing market going to crash? And so they're all related. I mean, it's just people couch it in a different way. And I would just say that right now, all the economists and what we're seeing is that we don't anticipate any reduction in price. Actually, we're looking at an appreciation in price. What we're seeing, if you're talking about a correction, because I don't know if it's called really a correction or not, but we're just seeing we're going back to more of a normal market, you know, like back in 2019, which means things are not quite so frenetic. We're not such high velocity. We're still seeing multiple offers. And I think with my notes that I sent you in reference to, you talk about the stats on Sunday, that is pertaining to, you know, how many homes were actually available on the marketplace for people looking under 300,000. And it's still a pretty tight market for
those. It is. And, you know, I think one of the things I appreciated that you and I had talked about earlier, too, was that whole concept of correction. You know, that applies really well to maybe the stock market, but right. not so much to the real estate market, because our values are not going down. They are still going to continue to appreciate, just not at the fast pace that they were. It's still a good pace. It's still a good time to buy and sell, and a smart time to be working with your agent so that you can still get your offer in on those houses that are under 300.
Right.
The days on the market, you know, that is a number that we used to, if you were on the market 60 days, that was an excellent deal. Wouldn't you agree with that, Ann?
Oh, yeah. And now people say, well, it's been on the market 4 days. What's wrong?
Yeah.
That's today. That was then.
Yeah.
Probably that's the one thing that is people have gotten so used to. You know, you put it on the market, either you get an offer, you know, the same day or within a couple days. Right. Or maybe you say, hey, we're going to time period of, you know, 4 or 5 days. We're going to collect offers and then we're going to review them. So now all of a sudden we go 4 or 5 days before we get an offer. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's second guessing themselves. Did we price it right? You know, what are we doing? Did we not put something on there, you know, correctly? And it's just back when we were doing this, when I came into the market in 2008, it wasn't uncommon to put a house on the market. And we may be lucky if we get a showing in the first 7 to 14 days or right. have an open house and maybe have one or two people show up. I know that we're not in the same market, but it's all perception.
It is.
You know, I mean, we still have busy open houses. I think we had an open house on Sunday and we had, it's a $1.1 million home. I mean, we are all over the spectrum when it comes to prices, but we had 7 sets of people that came through. Mm. So it's not like, you know, we're, you know, crickets where people are just practicing solitaire or anything like right. that at their open house. We're busy. And I know the weekend before I did an open house, I had 15 sets of people that came through. It was a juggling act. It was actually kind of fun because you get to juggle your conversations as people are walking by, and you have to remember what you said to the one person.
You're working the room.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. So, but anyway,
you know, the other thing that is fun too is if your parents are showing you through the house and they haven't done anything since 2008. And they're saying, well, you know, you can cut 20% off that asking offer and you can do this, you can do that. Doesn't happen that way today.
Yeah, that's part of that buyer consultation, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I think that's something that you do have to help them through and ask, when's the last time you bought and sold a house? Because I'm going to tell you, it's different from it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. In fact, it's even different, more different than it was
4 years ago.
4 years ago, even maybe last week. Things have shifted. How are we working today?
Yeah.
I remember I had somebody once say to me, well, they always pad those by 30%. That's how they pad those listings. Well, that's really not the case anymore.
So what would you say today? Again, don't give away any trade secrets, but for the most part, if people are saying, well, let's pad it this number, my guess is you maybe could get away with it today where you couldn't then because of supply and demand.
You know, I think we want to jump to believe that, but the reality is for some people, if you're using a loan, it still has to appraise at a value that a bank is going to give
you a loan on. Has that become a problem at all on the appraisal side? Because, again, if you got 3 offers and it's well above what the value is, what's the bank saying?
Less of a problem than you would think.
Right.
I mean, a few that don't appraise. But it's not anything major. It's just a right. matter of, and we end up able to negotiate those in, yep. you know, 90% of the time without it being a big issue. Everybody's on board and they right. understand, you know, so, and with that, I think that the whole part about when you price a home, mm-hmm. I will disagree in the respect that we can't pad the price of a home by 20%.
No,
you know,
we cannot.
I think you still have to price a home correctly. Mm-hmm. You have to show comps that, you know, are comparables that make sense. Because I've had that question yeah. where like, well, hey, let's just increase it 10 or 15,000. I'm like, well, if you price it correctly, you may get the 10 or 15,000 with multiple offers type of thing. But in the meantime, if you overprice it, you may hurt yourself in the long run and actually get less than what you should have gotten.
That's exactly right.
So that rule applies. It's been that way ever since I've been in real estate.
Yep. I'd have to agree.
But
it doesn't benefit you to overprice it.
Right. Well, and to your point about, you know, when people come in and say, hey, you know, maybe it's been on the market for a week. Let's see if we can get it for less. You can write it. If someone is my client and they say that they want to write an offer for less, as long as it's reasonable. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that I'm dictating what's reasonable, what's not. It's just that we still have a stat right now. Our metric from July is that The percent of original list price received is still at 102.4%.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, back in the, you know, when back, we'll just say back to 2008, 2012. I mean, sure. That's where things got into like 94%.
Yeah, and you were thrilled if your stats got up to 96% or 97%. Yeah. That was bragging rights, but
well, and that's even misleading because right. Even when you got 94% or 96%, you still had people that were asking for allowances,
yes.
And other things, so that wasn't taken into account.
That's very
on
true.
That percentage.
You know, we got the bankers coming in on the half hour, and we're going to ask them the same question we're going to ask the two of you, and we'll ask John when he gets on in the next segment. Is the housing market in a correction, or is it going to crash?
It's neither.
No, it's not in a correction. What it's doing is, I think the best term that I've read, and Ann, you're familiar with this because you kind of subscribe to the same, is it's called deceleration. We've been in such an accelerating market for the last few years. Now we're able to decelerate a little bit. And the best analogy is like we've been going 120 miles an hour for the last couple of years. So now we're only doing 90. Are we really slowing down? Is it a point where things are making a correction or they're going to crash? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. You know, but I will say in defense of anybody who's getting mortgages and loans and that sort of thing, yeah, they need to think about it a little bit because the right. interest rates have put them on their heels a little bit and trying to figure out how they can handle this.
Right.
And Tony, I would kind of ask you, we always looked at the calendar and would say, you know, if you haven't sold it by the end of August, you may not sell it. Yeah, because of people moving, because of schools, jobs, whatever it might be. What's the case today?
I'm going to let Ann answer that. Teed it up her. It's like we're playing T-ball or something. Here, Ann, here's a softball. I'm going to put it right on top of this little.
You know, that works best because if you throw it at me, I might not catch it.
I've heard about your ball playing. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that every month is a good month to sell. We have really shifted from that best time is spring to end of August because now people that are buying, they still really want a home. So the people that are out there are the serious buyers. They're the people that have waited the longest to find a home and maybe haven't. So when you have an inventory that isn't strong, where you still need more houses on the market, it's still a great time to sell. If you've put it off, I'd say you've put it off too long. Let's get going. We still have time to get it going.
Yeah, I think that a little bit of to give credence to a little bit of what you're saying is that, I mean, I don't know if August is really the day. I think you get to like into October, November, and we start talking about acreages or we start talking about lake homes, people are still buying them. Yep. It's just that it's probably not. It's like if I had a motorcycle and I wanted to sell it, best time to sell a motorcycle isn't going to be in November. It's going to be in March or April, and I'm going to get my maximum dollar, you know, and that's kind of the consultation we have. But mm-hmm. at the same token, if someone needs to sell and it's an acreage, they're going to sell it. It'll still happen, or a lake home.
I got a number of people looking for both of those, so don't stop if you've got one ready.
No, right now there's so many people that are looking for land to build on and acreages and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that sphere, that little circle, that radius of Sioux Falls, it keeps growing. We've talked about that where it gets to be 25, 30 miles, people, and even farther, they're willing to look at acreages.
All right, Tony Bachman, tell them how they can find you because we're done with the keynoter. We got to get in this other guy from the home builders.
Right. So we have a Facebook page called Tony Bachman Group. Our website is cbsiouxfalls.com. And my cell number is 605-201-5998. And I've got a whole bunch of notes I'm more than glad to share with you.
I bet you will. Thank you. We'll do Monday next month. That's a promise.
That sounds wonderful.
We'll be ready.
All right. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is the Report Card Show. Yeah, I know it's Tuesday, but it's Fair Week, so give us a little break. Ann Farrell is with us this morning. She's president of the Real Estate Association. How many days left in your reign as president?
I haven't counted the days, but November, the end of November, I'll be done.
John Beach, president of the Home Builders Association, we talked to you. How many days left for you?
End of December officially, so we got a few months left.
John, as we have just been visiting, Tony and Ann were able to talk a little bit about to where we're at in the marketplace. What about for home builders? What are you guys finding? Are you finding more people to help build homes, more lots to build homes? What would you tell us this morning?
As far as the workforce goes, that's a constant battle that our association is talking about. So we are working through that and lots. I mean, I know there's lots available out there. Guys are buying them up and getting new houses started.
So when you start hearing the building permit numbers and Butch is coming in with 1.077.2 by July 27th this year, and we've never been to that number and we got 5 months to go, you guys got to be busy and you got to be excited about all the opportunities.
Yeah, everybody is busy. As you, you know, dive into some of those numbers a little bit further, you know, new residential, we were right on par with where we have been last year. Our remodel side of things, that's where we're, you know, we ourselves at Beach Construction, we do a lot of remodel, and we are busy, and all of our competitors are busy. And those numbers, you know, from 38.4 to 62.8, I mean, that's a good sizable jump in 1 year. And then filling all that out is that new commercial side of things where everybody's seeing that stuff going on. Up on the outside of town, and a lot of the apartments. I mean, 2,400 new units is a pretty big number, but all that spells everybody's busy. I mean, everybody's spread out across all of those different divisions, and plenty of work to do.
You know, we're starting to hear more and more rural communities getting into building projects because of the fact that people have a demand for it. Are you finding that with your association, John?
Yeah, definitely. We, every year, our association does a bus tour. And this year, we kind of focused on west and north suburbs, per se. You know, Baltic, Del Rapids, Hartford, Crooks. And we got to drive through some of those communities and see those new housing developments. And there are some nice houses going up in those areas. I was surprised myself. I don't get out into some of those towns. I was surprised at what was all going on out there.
What would you say, Ann?
I would say if you haven't taken a Sunday drive in a while, now's the time to take one, because you'll be amazed at the growth that's going on all around our community. I know I spend a lot of time driving around this Sioux Falls, Harrisburg, Hartford, Brandon area, T, the whole bit. And just the other day, I'd gone down 57th Street out by Highway 11 and looked to my right, and boy, those apartment buildings have just exploded in just 2 weeks' time. All of a sudden, there's not just a foundation. The walls are all up. The roof's going on. There's a lot of growth in this community, and I think it speaks to the hope and the excitement and the desire to be here.
John, I know you guys are planning for the fall parade because you guys have already said, Bill, you need to come out and do two open houses for us on weekends. So yep. I know you guys are looking forward to the September dates. Can you share those?
Yeah, so this fall parade is September 10th and 11th, and then the 17th and the 18th from 1 to 5 on those Saturdays and Sundays. And we're feeling pretty fortunate this year. Our market for the parade is making a bounce back. We have 47 homes by 30 different builders on this fall parade. And, you know, fall has historically been our lower number. We get more houses on the spring parade. But compared to last year, we're really excited to have 47 houses. And then on top of that, we have two featured homes again. Those are the million-plus kind of homes with all the bells and whistles. There's pools and fire pits and, you know, wet bars, and it goes to fund our Home Builders Care Foundation, and we're excited about those and getting those on, and we get a lot of foot traffic through those two houses.
And I know that you tell people get out, see them, get
Absolutely.
Some ideas.
You know what, it's a fun thing. It's not just the ideas, it's the fun of the community and who you run into. You know, it kind of reminds us, we may be a big city, but sometimes we're still small town because we know everybody and we see people. But the ideas you're going to see, the designers you're going to get to talk to, the builders you're going to get to talk to. And you know what? Take your high school kids with you. Take your young people in your family who haven't decided what to do. Let them go with you and see, this could be their career. This could be what they do with their future.
You know, the other thing, too, John and Ann, is that you start to get into the football season when you do this in September. And it's like, sure. You know, is Augie playing? Is USF playing? You know, what's going on? Are the Vikings on? Are the Packers on Sunday? My guess is this year, as much of a demand as there is for homes, it might be, who cares about the Vikings, the Packers, USF, or Augustana? Let's get out and look at the houses.
You bet. You know, this is why it's 4 days. You have four opportunities to go out and see. You might need to just spend all three, you know, at least 3 days going through houses if you really need to get in that one football game.
So when will the houses be posted, John, that people can start looking at, start thinking about, maybe even driving the neighborhoods?
They may be posted already. On our website, you can go to, or you can go to your local Hy-Vees. The Home Ideas magazines will be coming out. You can get a hard copy. Or, once again, on our website, you'll be able to sort through the homes, kind of map out your route, and see what kind of price point you want to get into. Because, as Ann said, I mean, I got out to some spring houses, and they were busy. I mean, we were running into people we knew, and the cars were up and down the street. There's a lot of people in there, a lot of demand. A lot of people want to get out and seeing what's out on the market and seeing what kind of new products there are.
All right, you two. The bankers are out there. They're going to tell us what we can spend. We appreciate that. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys leading two great associations.
Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back. This is a very special report card show. You say, why are you doing it here? I said, the Sioux Empire Fair is the reason we're doing it here, because they took Monday and Wednesday. In fact, tomorrow is the Ag Summit as a part of Ag Appreciation Day out there. The mayor, Paul Tenhagen, Ag Secretary Hunter Roberts, Congressman Dusty Johnson, Darren Hefty, Mr. Ag PhD that's heard nationwide from his Baltic studio, Gentleman Jim Wooster, and we're going to talk and promote agriculture as it all comes together. That's tomorrow. But today we have our own summit that's going on, talking buying and selling, mortgage rates, a few more things. We're at the point in the show where we've got Brent Adney, South Dakota Housing Authority. Brent, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And Mr. Dave Kelly, Fairway Mortgage. Good to have you in the studio.
Absolutely good to be here.
Statewide, what's going on, Brent, as far as the people wanting to buy homes?
Well, I think, you know, I'll just mirror what you've already been talking with Tony and Ann. I think our volume is down, which is kind of understandable with everything that's going on. We're in the MSA that you represent down there. We're about 22% off of last year, and I'm going January to July. Statewide, we're down about 5%. We're off about 5%. So really what goes on down in your area kind of dictates what's going on in the rest of the state as well. But we're not disappointed. Like I think I mentioned last time, our numbers for our fiscal year, which go from July to June, we're down about 200 units. And that's what I look at as units dollar-wise, as you can imagine, because prices are going up dollar-wise. We're probably right at where we were last year, but the units are the ones that I kind of follow, and so we are down over last year, and we're hoping that, you know, we can make some gain up here towards the end of the year, but we're heading into kind of that time of the year with school starting and people maybe not that focused on you might not be that focused on buying a home right now, or at least financing it through our program.
Brent, how many financial institutions do you work with in South Dakota?
We have 42 and a couple more that we're looking at right now. So 42, and they represent about 270 branch locations across the state.
And Dave, you're one of those with Fairway, correct?
Absolutely, yes. We're downtown Fairway.
Talk to us a little bit. Don't give away names or complete situations, but I want to know. I want to know what the marketplace is like right now. Can people get help and still get a property?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that what I'm seeing out there is I'm seeing some of my first-time homebuyers come back. You know, they got a little bit scared away, and now they're reaching back out again, thinking it's a good time, which is good. Also, I would say, as a, you know, I'm seeing some some tougher credit situations too, but we can definitely help with that. And I would say don't be afraid. It always starts with, you know, it's just a phone conversation. Let's check out, see what we can do. I always tell people there's always a solution. If you work hard enough, you make the right decisions, and there's always something. I'll work with them. Sometimes it takes a year, sometimes a year and a half. Sometimes it takes a couple days. It just depends. But don't think you can't. At least let's get a plan put together and see what we can do to help.
Dave is telling us a story out of Sioux Falls with Fairway. You've got 40-some others that you're talking about, Brent. Kind of stories that you would have around the state. Are they similar?
Yeah, they are. I think, you know, one of the things that and I was preparing some notes here for this morning's show, but one of the things that I have to caution the listeners is keep in mind who you're listening to. I think the elephant in the room is the interest rates, which we're going to talk about here shortly. But I think keep in mind that who you're talking to, because a lot of press is out there right now with the Fed funds being increased and yet to increase again before the end of the year. But really, and I don't want to get too far down in the weeds, but our mortgage rates are based on the 10-year Treasury more so than what the Fed funds are. The Fed funds, of course, is what lending institutions can borrow from the Federal Reserve, and that will affect car loans and credit cards and some of those things. But mortgages are kind of buffered from that Fed fund, and it seems like all you hear and all we're hearing from consumers is, oh, the interest rates are going up, they're going up. Yep, they have went up, but they've also kind of leveled off right now. We've not seen that much of an increase for the last 3 weeks at least.
Let me tell you a story about last week. I'm at the Minnesota Farm Show. Redwood Falls, Fur Piece from Sioux Falls. And they had all these candidates. Today is the Minnesota primary. So all the candidates had a chance to speak to the farmers, tell the farmers what they were doing for them. And some of the candidates got a little tired of being put with their feet to the fire. And finally, one of the candidates turned to the farmers and said, you know what? You guys just want to retire and move to South Dakota. And as they were saying that, it was like, you know what, Brent and Dave, that's what's happening. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree 100%. I think it's scary if you read the national headlines, because that's where, you know, that's how they get you to read their papers or watch their news stories or look at their podcast or their social media. And you have to take it on a regional basis for sure. I mean, there was a national, I was going to kind of share this, so MBS Highway, which is it's a service that we pay for. A lot of loan officers pay for this, subscribe to it. And they did a survey of all their loan officers. And, you know, their survey did show that things were slowing down, but they acknowledged the fact that most of the slowdowns are occurring in the south part of the United States and the western part of the United States, where we saw the huge increases in value. And it's always been that case. I don't care if it was 2008, mortgage meltdown, you know, 2018 or today, we're very fortunate to be in South Dakota. I think Brent's numbers, he'd probably agree with me, is down because we just haven't had the inventory. The demand is
inventory
still
there. Is a key word.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think don't read into those national headlines. I know we're going to talk about rates, and maybe now is the time to segue into that. But
segue.
Okay. So again, I personally feel that rates are going to continue on a little bit of an upward path here through the fall. But as we head down the road, maybe to next year, looking ahead, I'm still saying that I think we see them come down again. And I think that if you wait to buy a house to when you see the rates come down again, guess what's going to happen? You and everybody else will be doing the same thing. So get the house now. Still be looking. Still be going out there, finding the houses. This is the time. And, you know, we get you into the house. And if we refinance you down the road, we refinance you down the road. But don't let the national headlines scare you.
Let me ask you here, if I can, with the banks that you deal with, the financial institutions you deal with, are they asking you anything about programs that they really need to help people? What are they saying that would be helpful to them and some of the rural communities across our state?
Well, I think, I I'm going to brag about our programs. I think, you know, we spend a lot of time, and Dave will know this as well, we spend a lot of time in listening to what the markets out there, listening to lenders, what's needed. And I think right now we're sitting really good. We have the programs available. It's like Dave said, we don't have maybe the supply so much, and the, you know, the prices might not be under our limits. But I think I think we're good to go. We have down payment assistance to help those people who need that help. And incidentally, about 80% of our borrowers do take advantage of the down payment and closing cost assistance loans that we have. We have a thing called MCC, and I won't go into detail on this show, but it's called a mortgage credit certificate that helps you recoup some of your income tax liability at the end of the year, and it's all based on your mortgage loan and your mortgage interest rates. So, I mean, I think we have 14, actually 13 today, but we did have 14 different interest rates, that, and all of them have little whistles and bells that will fit those people that are in need of those things. So, you know, I'm pretty confident that we have everything that we need. We just need to maybe lower the rate a little bit if we can, and get some get some supply out there.
And in Sioux Falls, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Brent's programs always. I like going through it, showing all the different bells and whistles. It's kind of like,
how do you learn all the bells and whistles? I've been meaning to ask you that, because I hear Brent's a pretty good teacher.
He's a very good teacher, but we don't want to go there because I missed his training this year.
Uh-oh.
But I have been doing this
But you
a
know
while.
How to pick
I've
up the phone.
I've been to his training before.
You so. Can pick up the phone and call.
Absolutely. No, there's a lot of good options there, and I always like going through them with the clients and helping them to make good decisions with that, and not just trying to pigeonhole them into something, but make sure that they make a good decision.
All right, Brent. People listening today, they're wanting some happy news, some news that encourages them to get a home. What would you tell them?
I would echo what Dave said, and I just wanted to share one other factoid with the audience. You know, our rates right now of those 13, 14 different options that we have range from 5% to 7%. In 1973, when the Housing Authority was established, our rate was at 8.05%. So, you know, historically, we're still better than we were in 1973, and we've had a wonderful run in the last 5 years with interest rates. And so, yep, it's hard to swallow some of those little higher interest rates that we're seeing today, the 5 to 7%, but it's still doable. We have options out there to help people get into those homes.
And you would say, David?
Yeah, my first South Dakota housing loan that I had in the 90s was 9.9%, Brent. It was FHA, South Dakota Housing. I had no idea what that was. The lender just said, here you go. This is what you're doing. I'm like, okay. But you think about that. That house that we bought, you know, I think it was like $60,000 house, is probably worth $250,000 to $300,000 today. So why would I have waited? I mean, don't let the rates scare you. Housing is a good investment.
So don't give up on it. See
no.
what you can do.
Absolutely.
See if there's a program. And just because it's August doesn't mean that when the snow comes, the programs are done.
If anything, you should be jumping in even more so right now. This is the time.
Last word, Brent.
If you have any questions with our programs, you can look us up on our World Wide Web, www.sdhda.org.
We appreciate Dave Kelly, Brent Adney helping us today. We'll try to get back on Monday next month. I hated to confuse you, but sometimes you just have to do it. Fair had to go on.
Change is good.
Jerry Berg is here. I saw him on television last night. He was on another station, but, you know, that's all right. But you were talking about rain. The rain came, and it didn't have a wide pattern. It had a scattered pattern.
It had a very scattered pattern on the south side of town, and I can't tell you exactly where all the work we got from, you know, the water mitigation side of it. But obviously on the south side of town and going south towards Canton, as we were just talking, there was little or no rain. And then you get into town and a couple of inch or two, and you get out on the east side where I live, and it was 5 inches. And so consequently, you know, you kind of got to go around and check. And if you hadn't cleaned your gutters since spring and all the seeds and so forth, you had some problems. And a lot of houses in my block had just a little water in their basement, kind of crept in around the foundation. I think probably because the ground is so dry that it would take a lot more than what we had, or certainly, you know, an inch or two the day before and then 5 inches and you'd had something. But I think it just soaked in a lot of it.
The pictures they had of a river, which was bone dry over the weekend, and then coming up to this 4 to 5 inch rain, depending on where you were, is full.
It was for a short period of time. It's starting to go back down. I mean, it's not like the water was coming down Skunk Creek or from Del Rapids or any place. I know they had more rain up in Dells, but, you know, all that combines to, you know, make for a full river, of course. But by the same token, because of the scattered nature of it, it just wasn't as serious as it has been. As old as I am, one of the biggest times we've ever had was in 2004 on the 30th, 29th and 30th. The evening of the 29th was a Saturday, and it rained 6 or 7 inches, and the water was up. It couldn't get out of the drainage system, and it was all the way up around my shop. And so you're driving through water coming in from both ways, and it was quite a dilemma to get all the things that we had to do taken care of during that flooding situation. And then again on the 16th of June, we had another 6 inches. And so the point being is that was more widespread. This was kind of a what they call a rain train from east to west. That was a rain train from southwest towards Yankton, northwest, you know, towards right. Laverne. And we had a bunch of work, a lot of sump pump failures, that kind of thing. But not as much as we've had in the past when there's been other kinds of deluges, if you would.
You know, the deluge is a word that I wrote down, too, and it fits. But there'd be a lot of people that say, well, the water went down, I'm okay. But what is left behind may not be okay.
Well, in my opinion, if we get more rain, I mean, obviously people are going to see more damage, and that would be because now we've got maybe some water in the ground table and it's risen a little bit. It depends on where you're at. On one end of my street, it's bone dry, my end, and on the other end, it's soaking wet. And just because I live where the water can run off and run into a holding pond, and my neighbors, it has to flow across a flat ground for several hundred feet before it gets to the same spot. And the point there would be is that it has an opportunity to kind of raise the groundwater or the water table. You know, and I live on the east side where everybody had wells when we moved in. And so all you got to do is pop the top off the well and kind of watch or take a tape and measure how deep it is and how far it's risen, and it's still way below the footings and so forth, but nonetheless, it came up a little bit.
All right. When we have a 4 or 5 inch rain all in one location, how busy do your phones get?
Well, they get pretty busy. They weren't as busy as we kind of expected, just simply because of what we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, ground's dry. You know, it was... It kind of that pattern came together east of Sioux Falls and right along 90, Brandon, those places, some of them got 6 and 7 inches. I don't know, you know, I've not paid attention to where all the addresses sure. are, but it didn't take much. I mean, any number of circumstances, as I've mentioned in the past, you didn't have your extension on your gutter, and you had all this water against the house, or your gutters were full and it ran over. It didn't get a chance to get away from the house. Now it's running right down the side. And we had several of those, and that's where the sump pump and the, you know, drain tile pick up the water that didn't get out into the street or for whatever reason, you know, away from your house. And things change. Houses get built next to houses, and, you know, so this 5-year-old house that's never had any water now has water because the guy next door is draining his, and it's just not swaled away. It's just not draining through the grass to the back or front of the lot like it used to, and so now you have water too.
We have people out there, and this is a show that dealt with real estate, people getting ready to sell their home. If they're doing that, it wouldn't hurt to check. Make sure they don't have anything underground that can jump up on an inspection.
Yes. I mean, a number of things come to mind. One, you know, if they obviously, I'm not a realtor, but the disclosure statement as to whether or not you had water. And if, in fact, we were the ones that were involved, we'll gladly tell you what happened and how it was resolved. And drying time and, you know, what we repaired and so forth. So, I mean, obviously we changed computers, and the last time we did was back in about 16, somewhere in there. And so, consequently, we lost some of the information before that. But we're pretty much able to tell you what we know.
Just enough time left for you to say how people can get a hold of you.
Just intechclean.com or 605-334-9716.
Hope to see you before another rain.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, we have an event that's coming up. And as we talk about this, we got Alex Newcomb Wayland.
Yes.
That's you.
That is me.
The one with the hat on backwards.
Yes.
And Mo Hurley, director of Annie Jr. All right, Mo.
Yes.
What's Annie Jr.?
So it's a classic show. It's a condensed version of Little Orphan Annie. So it's a very familiar, fun show. And it's a very fun twist on it. Doing it with the Penguin Project. So
who would want to come to see this?
Ooh, families with children for sure. I think just anyone in the community who's into performing arts, it's a very neat opportunity, but definitely it's a family show, first and foremost. So great for young children, teenagers.
You know, Annie Jr. is going to have people saying, I think I've seen this, but I'll bet they haven't.
I bet not. No. This group is especially energetic, engaged. It's a fun new take on it.
It's a comedy strip. Is that right?
It
goes back to that?
Yes. It's based on a comic strip, and it's become a very popular movie, stage production. It's become pretty well known since then.
All right. So tell us, what do you think will jump out at people? And don't give away the storyline.
Sure.
But for the most part, from both of your side, what do you think people should be looking for?
I think that, you know, for this specific production of Annie Jr. With the Penguin Project, I think the biggest thing that we have worked with all of our kids that are involved in this is just growth and confidence within their performance within the show. The technical aspects are also really, really cute and cool. Jill Clark, our scenic designer, did a great job of making everything on stage very accessible to all of our performers, which is really awesome. So I think the whole all-encompassing set kind of design work, as well as the work that Mo has done with the kids individually, has been really important and really stands out for just this production specifically.
This line shouts out at me, spunky Depression-era orphan.
Yes.
What should that mean?
That's a good question. It's very much based on just the environment that our main character finds herself in. It's this run-down, just claustrophobic, dark orphanage. They're under the care of a mean Miss Hannigan, who runs the orphanage. Mm-hmm. And so she starts out in very rough conditions, but she is spunky. She's got that will. She has a hope for brighter days coming, and so that kind of carries her through the play, bringing her to new opportunities, new excitement beyond that.
So the kids that see it, what do you think they're going to walk away thinking? What will they learn with this theatric production?
I think that they will have an enjoyable time. They'll think it's fun. The songs and dances are super engaging. I would love for them to be pulled to be involved themselves. Mm-hmm. It's one of those plays that you get so excited just viewing it, watching it, that it draws you in and you want to be a part of it yourself. So I would love if those involved and those coming to see it are propelled to get involved further.
Annie Jr. is at the historic Orpheum Theater. And if you don't know where that's at, 315 North Phillips Avenue, shame on you. And the shows are Friday through Sunday, the 12th through the 14th at 7 p.m. Sounds to me like a great play. Let us know how it works.
Yeah, we will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, it was nice to be able to talk a little bit about that big production this weekend, and also to get our report card show kind of exposed to the 10 o'clock hour. We always do it in the 9 o'clock hour, the first or second Mondays of the month, and we'll be back to that. I think we're the 12th of September that we're doing next month. But tomorrow, we'll be back at the Sioux Empire Fair in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to have what is a part of the Ag Appreciation Day. It's the Agriculture Summit. Mayor Paul Tenhagen will be with us. The South Dakota Ag and Natural Resources Secretary Hunter Roberts. Congressman Dusty Johnson has said that he would be with us. Ag PhDs nationally known, Darren Hefty from Baltic. We do have Mr. Agriculture Jim Wooster that's going to join us. And usually the kids come up with some questions. 9 to 11 tomorrow, we'll be at the Sioux Empire Fair. It'll be the sixth of 9 days. If you haven't been out to the fair, take time and go. For now, our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.